You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Captive insurance companies are an advanced planning technique that has received a lot of publicity over the last few years. Although the market for captive insurance companies are limited for the right client, captives provide significant risk planning benefits on a tax-favored basis. To discuss captive insurance companies, I've invited Stuart Feldman, the Chief Executive Officer and General Counsel of Capstone, as our guest here today. Houston-based Capstone, along with its affiliated law firm, the Feldman Law Firm, LLP, is principally engaged in designing, forming, and administering small property and casualty insurance companies. These so-called captive insurers are affiliated with closely held businesses operating in a variety of industries located throughout the United States. Capstone has formed over 120 captives since 1998 and presently operates 80-plus on a turnkey basis for its clients. Mr. Feldman, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio here on EPN.
Well, Eric, thank you very, very much for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, it's our pleasure as well. So let's start out with a really broad question. What is a captive insurance company, and what purpose do they serve?
Glad to answer that, Eric. Firstly, a captive insurance company is first and foremost and principally an insurance company. What a captive does is it provides often custom-designed or rifle-shot coverages for a business. What happens when a company goes to, let's say, CNA or Berkshire or AIG and buys coverage? They're buying a wide variety of conventionally available coverages, basically forms that someone pulls off of a master document. Whereas in the case of most businesses, there are unique or custom areas of coverages or exposures for which the conventional policies generally do not provide very good coverage. Eric, let me give you an example. Let's say that you've got a business and that business is involved as a car dealership. It's a franchise car dealership and you operate a particular brand. Let's say you sell Kia or Hyundai, you sell Toyota. Generally speaking, throughout the United States, that particular dealership operates under a term agreement with the manufacturer. The company may have great garage keeper's lot insurance, they may have workers' comp, they may have fire, they may have property coverage. But the big exposure, or as we say in the business, the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room, really is what happens if that franchise dealer, that company, were to lose the selling rights under the franchise agreement. What type of insurance coverage does that company have? And generally speaking, the conventional market does not address those type of coverages. So what they've done, what the dealership has done, is covered himself for a wide variety of coverages that are of varying importance to him, but really, or to her, but really the most important coverage, the most important exposure, is nowhere covered by any insurance policy. That's where a captive really shines. It shines where the insurance company, the captive, does custom design coverages for insurable risks, offloading them in whole or in part to the captive insurance company. Now, I'm not saying that you can't fly over to Bermuda or to Lloyd's of London and buy a particular policy to cover a Toyota dealer in the case of loss of franchise. However, those markets tend to be super expensive, and they're not readily available. So what happens in the case of a captive is the owner of the business or affiliates of the business set up a company, a regulated insurance company, which they own, that then provides these custom coverages for the operating businesses.
Now, who is an ideal prospect for a captive? In other words, what size does a company need to be before it even considers a captive? And is there a particular industry where captives are ideal?
Let me answer that in a broad way. Firstly, it really all comes back to what are the uninsured coverages. That is, what are the exposures of the business that are not covered by the conventional policies? So in the case of the Toyota dealer that I mentioned, maybe they have deductibles of $25,000 or $50,000 across the board on their policies. Maybe they don't have windstorm coverage. Maybe, as in the case of many car dealers, they don't have glass breakage insurance. What we do is we look at the business as a whole. Our insurance people come in and analyze and synthesize the coverages that are now covered through the conventional policies and look at those relative to those areas that are susceptible or appropriate for captive insurance. So I don't think I would measure it either in terms of the amount of premiums that they're paying now, and I certainly wouldn't measure it in terms of the gross sales or profits. It really comes back to what are the exposures. If you want a rule of thumb, however, because of the transactional costs involved, because a captive insurance company is inherently an involved business planning technique, certainly one would not get involved in that unless someone were to put in a couple of $100,000 per year of premiums. And I think that that's probably the threshold for getting involved in a captive. That's not to say that the company needs to be a particular size in terms of revenue or profits, but unless the arm's length determined premiums for the exposures that are going into the insurance company are a couple $100,000 per year, I'm not sure that the planning technique makes sense. So with that said, it's applicable to a wide range of businesses out there in the United States.
Tell me this, why would a business or a group of businesses decide that they needed a captive, and why wouldn't they just buy additional property and casualty insurance from an established insurance company?
Well, they might. Certainly, you would always judge the doing a captive, which is a type of alternative risk financing. You would always against other types of risk mitigation that would be available out there, whether that be additional safety people, whether that would be entering into a longer-term contract with your manufacturer, whether that would be buying pollution coverage from the conventional markets. You certainly would always consider that. However, the conventional markets are very good at standard policies, auto, liability, some types of employee practice liability. They're very good at fire. They're very good at, a general casualty type of policy. The conventional markets are not nearly as good in other areas. For instance, windstorm, that tends to be a very, very expensive coverage. Earthquake, loss of services, what happens if a business has a number of employees, let's say their management team, their head of sales, the head of technology, the head of research and development, let's say. If you're an oil company, maybe it's your geologists or geophysicists. There may be people in the company that are key and critical to that business. Certainly, a business might consider going ahead and getting coverage that would cover the loss of those people, services to the business. However, the conventional markets are very good at death. They're not nearly as good at disability. They're not good at all if the employee just gets up and quits. So certainly if you got a business and you have 10 key members of management or 10 key people sprinkled throughout the company, what has that business done to help retain those people, or what has that business done to insure itself against a loss or exposure to the business from the loss of services of that person? Often the case is none. Now, I'm not suggesting that you can't call up Berkshire and buy a policy for that, but it would be very awkward. And what happens is, in the case of these custom policies, it is the usual case or frequently the case that the insurance company would say, sure, we would be glad to cover that particular policy, but as a matter of business practice, in order to get involved in custom coverages, the minimum threshold premium needs to be $250,000 per policy. And some of these exposures just don't warrant that cost. That's, again, where a captive shines. Those are some of the reasons why one would go to a captive as opposed to going to a conventional policy. And actually, there's really one other big reason. Many businesses would say to themselves, look, I want to be on both sides of that bet. I want to insure myself. I want to insure my operating business against the loss of services from this particular employee. I want to insure my business against the loss of that Toyota franchise. However, if I do a good job and I guessed right, and I run my business properly and I don't have a loss, I'd like to be on the winning side of that bet where I'm able to benefit from the accumulation of premiums that are available to the company. That's where, again, the captive would shine, because the business owner can be on both sides of that bet.
Very good breakdown and explanation. Today we are joined by Stuart Feldman, the Chief Executive Officer and General Counsel of Houston-based Capstone, along with his affiliated law firm, the Feldman Law Firm, LLP, which is principally engaged in designing, forming, and administering small property and casualty insurance companies here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Feldman, can you give us an example or two of a success story that your firm has had with captives, and perhaps one that has funded a major loss or maybe one that has not?
Sure. We've had, I can give you several examples. Obviously, funding a loss is something that no insurance company wants to do, whether they're AIG or whether they're a small property and casualty company. An insurance company prefers, obviously, to receive premiums and not pay out losses. Unfortunately, that becomes very a common mantra of the larger insurance companies. In the case of a captive, we've had lots of situations. We've had companies that are involved in industrial waste, businesses that take nasty chemicals and transport them or receive them at a facility. Cases they are stored above ground. In some cases, the offending chemicals are injected into the ground thousands of feet down. In that particular case, I think probably a dozen years, the company was covered for various risks that were not covered with the conventional markets. You can understand that a business that takes hazardous or contaminated waste and injects that into into wells that are thousands of feet down is not an attractive business to the conventional markets. What happened in that particular case is that there was an industrial accident, and the accident was partially covered by the conventional markets. The captive, though, provided certain kinds of pollution coverage that was related to the accident, and it stepped in and it paid a significant amount of that loss and saved the business going forward. So there's one example. Yeah, another example we've had is that a person was involved in a particular medical field, and the captive provided insurance for the operating business against loss of licensure by the state that was licensing the facility. The state, unfortunately, took away the license for that facility, and the conventional markets did not address properly or couldn't address properly the loss of license to that facility. Again, the captive stepped in and provided those coverages. We've had several situations where the captive provided loss of services coverages for the employees of the related operating business. The coverages stepped in and paid when the particular employees left. So there's just a couple of examples of things that we've done over the years. We've had millions of dollars of losses, unfortunately, in the captives, and we've had many, many millions of dollars of profits in the captive. But at the end of the day, what happens is if the business owner bets right, does a good job of operating his business, the business owner is able to achieve a situation where he's got coverages for his business, which are then tax deductible, and on the other side in the captive, they're tax advantaged because the captive is either partially or totally tax-free. It's a U.S. for-profit, either fully or partially tax-exempt businesses. And you say to yourself, why does that exist? Well, Congress has always wanted to encourage businesses to offload their risks to insurance companies. And I think that's part of our underlying social policy that we have of promoting businesses, especially small businesses in the United States. An insurance company is in the unusual situation, a large insurance company, where they can deduct future losses today. They can reserve for those today, which are not yet identified but may occur in the future, but for which they received a premium today. What I'm trying to say is that Congress has, over the last 100 years, put in special tax provisions for, in this case, property and casualty insurance companies to encourage their formation and to encourage them thriving in the marketplace. Other tax provisions allow small insurance companies to be either wholly tax-exempt or partially tax-exempt from the U.S. income tax. So you're talking about a U.S.-based company that's wholly or partially tax-exempt. So on the one side, the business owner is able to deduct today the premium to his related insurance company and to benefit from that offloading that risk to the captive. On the other hand, the captive insurance company holds those monies and doesn't pay income taxes currently, and maybe not for many years, on the monies that it received. So what we're doing is really financing that future loss. And if that future loss doesn't happen, the captive has been able to absorb that money at favorable income tax rates. It's really a win-win situation for the business owner. Now, let me make something clear. The captive is associated with that particular business owner. What I'm really describing is situations where business A owns, in some related way, captive A. It's not that business A is involved in a captive with 50 other people. Generally speaking, the captive owner is also the owner of the closely held business. And the captive principally, not exclusively, but principally is insuring the risks of the related businesses.
And in conclusion, what are the costs in setting up a captive, if you would?
The costs are really very broad as a general statement. It could cost $50,000 to set up a captive. It could cost $500,000 to set up a captive. Generally speaking, for a garden variety, usual captive for a closely held business, a good approximation is $75,000 plus or minus to set up and operate the first year, and a good approximation for the operating costs beginning in subsequent years would be $40,000 to $70,000 per year. It really depends on the nature of the captive. It depends on the domicile in which it's set up. It depends on how involved and how complicated the captive is to administer. There's no standard. There's no garden variety standard that captives are measured by. These are usually custom insurance companies for the related closely held businesses, and we've done a lot of them over the years.
Tell our listeners, if you would, where they can get more information about captives or Capstone online, and also to be in contact with you as well.
Sure, and we'd be glad to visit with people. We do business throughout the United States. We've got captives from California to Philadelphia, New York, from the Canadian border right down to the Mexican border. We have a national practice. We're based in Houston, central part of the country, and people can learn about us by looking at our website, www.capstoneassociated.com. That's capstoneassociated.com. Our phone number in Houston is 713-850-0550. People are welcome to call Cleet Thompson, who's our vice president with Capstone, or they're welcome to call myself, Stuart Feldman, with Capstone, and we'd be glad to give you some additional information on whether this type of alternative risk planning tool works well with their particular businesses. And as I mentioned, we've been involved in 120 or 130 captives over the last, 15 years, and we have many very happy clients.
Certainly appreciate your informing us about this topic. We've been speaking with Stuart Feldman, the Chief Executive Officer and General Counsel of Houston-based Capstone, along with its affiliated law firm, the Feldman Law Firm, LLP, which is principally engaged in designing, forming, and administering small property and casualty insurance companies. And the website, once again, for information is simply CapstoneAssociated.com, and the phone number is 713-850-0550. Mr. Feldman, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. Have a great day.
You too, and you're welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.